Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Wednesday. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, we're live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor's joining me. 1 hour from now, Dis or Dak, a brand new game we'll play regularly. Dis or Dak. Who is Dak better than? Who would you take Dak over for the next 5 years? Because he's probably going to get a 4 or 5 year contract. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. You know, I always thought in our business, a lot of people get jobs at sports networks. I always thought that the game, the people that I really liked are the ones that last. Al Michaels has been around forever. Howard Stern's been around forever. Oprah's been around forever. A lot of people get opportunities in pro sports. The people that I always idolized as a kid, you know, growing up or as a young adult, were the people that, like, decade after decade after decade after decade. I mean, Kobe Bryant was double-teamed his entire career. His last game, he still scored 60. Every game plan, every night was stop Kobe. Nobody could. A lot of guys have won player of the month in the NBA that disappear into the ether. Dak Prescott and Lamar Jackson are the talk of the league. Dak Prescott's on the cover of Sports Illustrated and Stephen Jones. I mean, they're talking about what he's going to get paid. And I like Dak a lot. And I like Lamar not yet a lot. But Dak Prescott's, it's interesting. Dak's completing 82% of his throws and has 142 passer rating. That's not the real Dak. Lamar Jackson, by the way, 8 touchdowns, no picks, passer rating 145. That's not the real Lamar. Here's the funny thing about September in the NFL. It can be really fool's gold for quarterbacks. Now, think about this. Football's the only sport where in the middle of the season, the weather conditions change. September, weather's perfect. Football's the only sport where your personnel, your support system can evaporate. Philadelphia yesterday canceled practice. They didn't have enough healthy players. This doesn't happen in any other sport. Last year, through 2 weeks, and that's all we have in the NFL, 10 quarterbacks in the NFL had 5 or more touchdowns. Let me read them to you. Blake Bortles, Andy Dalton, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Kirk Cousins, and Joe Flacco. That's half of them. Now, I like Dak a lot, and I like Lamar not yet a lot. But September's been fool's gold my entire life in the NFL, and Baltimore and Dallas are very unique. Because the NFL is a film league. And let me give an example with Arizona. So Arizona's first 2 weeks, it's a film league. You had to go as an NFL coach facing Arizona and go to the Big 12 conference. You had a college coach from the Big 12. And then you had a quarterback from the Big 12. And the Big 12 doesn't really play any NFL defensive schemes. And then Arizona in the preseason announced, hey, everything we're doing in the preseason, none of it we'll use in the regular season. So Arizona was the only team in the first couple of weeks that you had to look at Big 12 college tape to figure out what they're doing. That's not a knock on Kyler Murray, but as the weeks go, you'll figure out strengths and weaknesses. So think about Dallas. Dallas has Kellen Moore as their new coordinator. He was playing 2 years ago. There's no film on Kellen Moore. Nobody knows his traits. Nobody knows his tendencies. It's not like with Andy Reid's guy, you can go to Andy Reid's system and then watch Matt Nagy and go, oh, Matt does that, or Doug Peterson. A lot of the same principles, or Mike Holmgren's tree, or Belichick's tree. There's a branch for Kellen Moore. Nobody has a tree. In the first week, Dallas ran 50% play action. The last coordinator ran 27%. New York Giant, they were completely fooled. How many times did Dak throw to a Dallas receiver that was open by 10 yards? So you have no film on Arizona. You have no film on Kellen Moore. Now, Lamar, you've got film on with Greg Roman, but they've added a lot of personnel and a lot of wrinkles. The first game against Miami, Lamar didn't run. Miami is in the box, and they were like, we're not going to run. So you got to be careful about September. Great to me in my business. It's the Sterns. It's the Oprahs. It's the Bill Maher's. It doesn't matter. The Hannity's, the Matta, they're lasting for decades. I mean, Tom Brady, think about Tom Brady. This is what great is. Pittsburgh has 20 years of film on Brady. They just faced him last year. They had 6 months to prepare for Brady. Brady comes in with a bunch of new wide receivers and beats them 33-3. That's Kobe scoring 60. Great isn't getting a job, even a starting quarterback job in the NFL. Great is year after year, brick after brick. People have 10 years of film on Brady. Pittsburgh's faced him 12 times. They had 6 months. Brady doesn't have his wide receivers right. His center got hurt 33-3. And couldn't stop him. That's great. There's a lot of good that looks great in September. Anyway, Sports Illustrated, Dax on the cover. Good picture. A lot of good quotes. So yesterday, Aaron Rodgers was on a radio show, and he was just sort of laughing at anybody that doubts Brady. And, you know, he was just saying, you know, we just keep waiting for it to end. And he said, it's just ridiculous. So here's Aaron talking about Tom Brady and how it doesn't look like it's close to ending.
I think I laugh with him a little bit when they replace some of the remarks. People are just waiting, I think, for him to, like, regress. And it's like, it's not happening. Not happening. But the first time he has a game where he doesn't throw three tugs, it's going to be like, oh, well, here it is. You know, here's the beginning. And then sure enough, there's a little more ammo for him to be like, what'd you say? Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Going back to the Super Bowl.
People don't understand this. In my lifetime, we've always considered the most dominant team sport athletes to be Wayne Gretzky in hockey and Michael Jordan in basketball. It's not close anymore. Brady has lapped Gretzky, and he's lapped Michael Jordan. I want you to think about this. Wayne Gretzky, you know, Wayne Gretzky literally has more assists than the second all-time scorer has points. That doesn't even count Gretzky's goals. But Gretzky, his last 12 years, he never won. And by the way, he never won without Mark Messier. Think about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan never won without Scottie Pippen. Brady doesn't have that. Belichick, he was fired in Cleveland and 5-11 in New England with Drew Bledsoe. The gap between Brady and even Michael Jordan and even Wayne Gretzky is now laughable. Well, think about Brady. Brady has 6 Super Bowl rings. No other player in football has that. Michael Jordan's got 6 rings. Bill Russell's got 11. Robert Horry's got 7. There's multiple Celtics that have more than Brady. Tom Brady is going to break every playoff record. Michael Jordan doesn't own every playoff record. Tom Brady's going to break every statistical quarterback record. LeBron crushes Michael Jordan in statistical records. He'll beat him in virtually everything, including eventually probably points. I mean, we know assists, rebounds, final appearances. You got to remember, Brady's done it with a collection of mostly anonymous offensive linemen, not star running backs, 4 offensive coordinators, and outside of Randy Moss for 2 hours, mostly 72 different guys have caught touchdown passes. Magic had Kareem. Gretzky had Messier. Jordan had Pippen. Tom doesn't have any one guy. He can make claims that, I want you to think about this for a second. If you take Tom Brady's career and you cut it in half, I want you to cut Brady's career in half. His first 10 years, 3 Super Bowls, 2 MVPs, a regular season MVP, and won over 76% of his games. That is an argument for the greatest quarterback ever. His second 10 years are better than that. 3 Super Bowls, 2 MVPs, regular season, 2 Super Bowl MVPs, 1 regular season, 2 MVPs. He's basically doubled everything against Super Bowl wins. And then he won 79% of his games. You can make an argument that Brady's last 10 years are the greatest quarterback ever. Montana would be the only one you'd argue with him. You can argue that his first 10 years, he's the first or second greatest quarterback ever, only surpassed by himself and Joe Montana. If you take away Michael Jordan's, one of his three title runs, remember he got three titles, played baseball, came back. He's not even in the discussion. Magic got the 9 finals, won 5. Russell won 11. We're not talking about Michael Jordan winning 3. You cut Jordan's career in half, he's not in the discussion. You literally, Tom has 2 careers that are arguably better than any quarterback. And the only quarterback that would be in the argument with him is Joe Montana. 4 Super Bowls, 4 MVPs. Like, it's not close anymore. Gretzky had Messier. Jordan had Pippen. Brady doesn't have that. Brady's got the most Super Bowl rings in his sport. Jordan's not close. Bill Russell's got almost double. Brady will win the statistical arguments, the playoff statistical arguments. His career cut in half is greater than anybody's. Like, it's not close anymore. Like, you sound silly arguing Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, Dan Marino, John Elway. It's like, stop. Like, that's like you've had too many Heinekens. Like, stop arguing that at a sports bar. Like, go home. Call Uber. Like, get out of here. You're making up stuff. Like, so when I look at the whole Brady thing and Aaron Rodgers and we're trying, I was sitting there thinking this morning, I'm like, I'm watching him first 2 weeks and I'm like, is he close to retirement? If you didn't know what he was, there's a guy on Broadway named Norman Lear. He's 97 years old. He just signed a 3-year contract. He's going to work to be 100. He just won another award on Broadway. And they asked him about his age and he goes, I don't really think about it. With Brady's age, we all think about it. If you didn't know Brady's age and you just watched him, you'd be like, oh, he's like 32. He's not 42. Watch him play. He doesn't look close to it. So all these dominant numbers, minimum 2 more years of him? Like, he is the greatest American team athlete, and Gretzky and MJ to me are no longer close. Even Aaron Rodgers admits it. We're looking for outs. We're looking for reasons. We're looking for the hammer. It's not close. It's not even close.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I always like it when people own their stuff. I've told you about the Cleveland Browns this year. I think they have 2 major issues. I don't like their offensive line. I said that all summer, and I have no idea if Freddie Kitchens can coach or is completely over his head. And I think those are the 2 big issues. There's another issue I said, but I didn't think it would rear its head in week 1. The 3rd issue I said was there's a lot of mouths to feed here. What happens when Jarvis Landry gets ignored for 3 weeks? What happens when OBJ doesn't get fed the rock? But I thought the first 2 issues, offensive line and Freddie Kitchens, how good is he? You'd see early, and we have. The 3rd issue I thought would develop by Thanksgiving. OBJ's not getting the ball. David Njoku feels ignored at tight end, and he's really good. That actually reared its head in week 1, which is why I said a couple days ago, this thing could unravel here in about 4 weeks. I want you to think about Monday night. Freddie Kitchens acknowledged, and this was all over Twitter during the game. Like, Twitter guy could figure this out. Freddie Kitchens couldn't and acknowledged it this week. Why was Baker passing with 2 minutes left in the game? He got hurt against Tennessee, and he was getting whacked by the Jets. You had a double-digit lead in the entire second half. Njoku had a concussion. Baker got hurt last week. OBJ was cramping. Get out of town. The Jets were on their 3rd quarterback. They were no longer a threat in the last 15 minutes of the game. What were you doing? Like, I knew their offensive line wasn't good, and I had questions about Freddie Kitchens. But the feeding the mouth thing, like feeding the players, you know what I think happened to Freddie Kitchens week 1? He wanted to get OBJ the ball because he's in New York. And then he wanted to get Jarvis Landry touches because he didn't get a lot of touches early. And they struggled with the keeping everybody happy. That's with OBJ cramping. That's with Njoku out. Nick Chubb only had the Cleveland offense. With a double-digit lead the entire second half, they had 21 carries, rushing carries. That's it. Jets had more rushing yards. This, and Freddie Kitchens yesterday admitted it. Like, what are you doing with Baker Mayfield? He's a two-time walk-on. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's running around getting popped. Freddie Kitchens talked about it.
You know, in that situation, you know, you're either going to hand the ball off and get hit in the backfield 3 or 4 yards, or you take advantage of, you know, what they're giving you, and then when they cover it, you just got to protect yourself. I don't need him out there taking unnecessary shots.
I think Monday was a rare NFL game. You get about five of these a year. You got one with Baltimore and Miami first week. If you watch the Monday Night Football game, after two series, you had a sense that, oh, the Jets are not going to score tonight. They're just not going to score. They've got seven starters out. They're on their backup quarterback. Then the backup quarterback got hurt. You're on your third quarterback. You kind of knew this is not going to be a competitive game. When you're on the road and you have a bad O-line and a prized second-year quarterback, a lot of times you take a lead, you just want to get out of town healthy. Njoku had a concussion. OBJ's cramping. Baker was hurt last week. Twitter could figure this out. Like, people on Twitter were like, why is Baker in the game? Why is Baker throwing? So the three issues for Cleveland, bad O-line and Freddie Kitchen, I thought we'd see immediately. We have. The third issue with Cleveland I thought would take till Thanksgiving, which is a lot of people to keep happy. I think Freddie Kitchens was trying to keep his receivers happy, didn't give it to Nick Chubb, didn't run the football, and now acknowledges, what was I doing? If fans on Twitter can figure out stuff, NFL coaches that plan on or try to beat Belichick and Andy Reid have to figure it out before us.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, there's an old saying, as a salesman, you're only as good as your product. You can only sell what you can sell. That's why good salesmen don't take jobs selling crappy products. The good salesmen figure out, can I move? Do I have an upside to the product? If you're selling heart medication in America today, as a pharmaceutical sales rep, you're going to make a lot of money selling heart medication. If you're selling stuff for toe injuries, it doesn't matter how good of a salesman, you're not going to sell much stuff. I've always believed in college football. Increasingly, warm weather is a big advantage. There's just more players in Florida, Louisiana, Texas, California than there is in Michigan, Maine, you know, Washington, Idaho. Warm weather matters. And so what I've done for years is I've assigned every college program of note a number based on 12-game schedules. And the number I would give your program is based on, if you have the right coach, are you hitting the number? Michigan, to me, is a 10. That means out of 12 games, if you have the right coach, they should win 10 a year. I'm not going to say they should beat Ohio State. I'm not going to say they're going to go undefeated. They're in a state that has about 12 good high school football players a year. George is in a state that has 243. George's number is an 11. And also Michigan has to play 9 conference games. Georgia gets to play 8 in the SEC. That's another citadel. So I have a handful of teams in college football. I give the number. Nobody gets a 12. Nobody's going to go undefeated. I give about 7 to 8 teams an 11. Bama, LSU, Oklahoma. This is if you have the right coach. Oklahoma, Texas. Again, USC is the only program, Denver West, that should be 11. They're in a state with 240 high school football Division I players, and they have the biggest brand on the West Coast. My number for Michigan is somewhere between 9.5 and 10, and Harbaugh's hitting it. Jim Harbaugh took over a program averaging 6 wins. He's gone 10-3, 10-3, 10-3, 3 of his 4 years. 1 year he went 8-5. They had 3 quarterbacks play. Wilson Spate got hurt. He's hitting his number. My number for Michigan. The state has no high school football talent of note compared to Georgia, Louisiana, Florida, Texas, California. Even Ohio doesn't compare. Okay, Ohio State is the only northern program in the country I give an 11 to. Their state has a lot of high school football stars, and they're not the academic power. They're not academically as good as Penn State, Wisconsin, Michigan, or even Washington. And so I give Ohio State the number is 10.5 to 11. That's the Alabama territory. And I think if you've got the right coach. When Michigan's had the wrong coach, they get 8. They're averaging 10, 9.5 and 10. He's getting the number. Not all programs are even. Academically, Michigan's harder. The state, the weather, the geography. Northern teams don't get as many good players on recruiting day. Most kids would rather play close to home. I've been watching on the West Coast for years. USC with bad coaching staffs still wins the recruiting race over well-coached Washington teams. Nebraska, their number's 9. They're Nebraska. There's no players in their state. They have to convince every kid, want to play in 9 degrees? That's harder than LSU saying, hey, your high school's there. Our stadium's here. You want to come play? Yeah, my girlfriend goes to LSU. Come on in. It's easier. And so, like, now, I do think Harbaugh deserves some criticism. Joel Klatt and I got into this yesterday. I do not think he has, despite winning 9.5, and I think he's hitting his number, I don't think he's done a good enough job at the quarterback position. Here's Joel Klatt. I'm a huge Harbaugh fan. He's got to own this offense. It's not getting better.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because this is the least involved he's been with any of his offenses at any level. Jim Harbaugh handed the keys to his whole program offensively to Josh Gattis, who had never called plays before in his life.
Right.
And now this is Josh Gattis's offense.
Sounds like you're throwing Josh Gattis under a bus a little.
Am I?
No, it's everybody's like, so if it fails, Josh Gattis, get him out of here. Hey, this is, by the way, this is Harbaugh's team. I don't want to hear about some coordinator.
And I don't disagree with that.
But if you're going to be Jim Harbaugh and make 7 large a year, then
don't
give me Josh Gattis. I got no interest banging on Josh Gattis. Guy worked at Home Depot last year, and now you're blaming the whole downfall on him. I got Greg Gattis over here taking shots, Bob Gattis over here. So I'll bang on Harbaugh for that. He's not done well enough as a former NFL quarterback. He's not done well enough at quarterback. That he deserves criticism for. But I give every college a number. You could throw a college to me. I give you Wisconsin's 8.5. And they overachieve. Paul Chris gets you to 9. So that coaching staff is overachieving. Washington, the number's 8.5. Chris Peterson's getting a 9 and 10. They're overachieving. USC's number is closer to 11, and they're getting to like 7 and 8. You got to make a change. So everybody's got a number. I just put Michigan's number at 9.5 to 10, based on academics, weather, state. Harbaugh's hitting the number. I don't want to hear about Josh Gattis, though. I'm over that Gattis kid.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So I was talking about Dak. You know, it's first impressions matter. You know, they really do. They say women, it takes 8 minutes to decide if they'll hook up with you, and it takes guys about 8 seconds. So, you know, we're a little more primal and stupid. But the point being is people make decisions very quickly in relationships and first impressions matter. And Baker Mayfield comes into the league as a number one pick. If Baker Mayfield was a 4th-round pick, we would be making fun of his first 12 NFL games. He's a turnover machine. He's wildly inconsistent. But everybody's still, Baker's unbelievable. Why? Because he beat Cincinnati twice last year? Since Baker Mayfield started in this league as a quarterback, he leads the NFL interceptions. But he started a Heisman. Look at over here. He's got an underwear commercial. And now Dak starts as a 4th-round pick, and we still doubt him. Russell Wilson, for 3 years, won a Super Bowl. We still doubted him. Brady, there's still people that call him a system quarterback. How you enter the league matters. It really, really does. And so Dak Prescott comes into this league, and he's been nothing but great. He was great his first preseason game against the Rams in the Coliseum in Los Angeles. He was great. And so we were talking about it this morning. If you considered everything, you considered availability, maturity, arm size, talent, it quality, everything. And there is an it quality to Dak that I think is really special. I don't think, just take out 4 guys. He's not Brady. He's not Rodgers. He's not Russell Wilson. And he's not Mahomes. Okay. No reasonable person thinks he is. Take those 4 out. He's not Aaron. He's not Russell Wilson. He's not Brady. And he's not Mahomes. I don't think he's Andrew Luck, but Andrew Luck retired. So there's 5 guys. Let's not even make that argument. But then you start looking around the NFL, and we're going to play a game. And I want to consider everything. Leadership, maturity, availability, arm talent, it quality. Stephen Jones of the Cowboys yesterday, you know, co-owner with Jerry of the Cowboys, was talking about Dak and his contract, and even he mentioned the it quality, which is a real thing.
Where we are and where it could end up, there's not a big difference because we're already up there in rare air in terms of, you know, where the money is, and no one deserves it more than him, and no one roots harder for Dak week in and week out than Jerry and myself.
All right, so they're going to give him the money. You know, it's going to be 35 or 32, whatever it is, a little more than I'd be comfortable, but I get it. He wins. He's getting paid on winning. So we're going to play a game called Dis or Dak. Which quarterback, take out the big four, next 5 years, because the contract's going to be a 4 or 5 year, who would you take? Here we go.
Really think Dak isn't worth $30 million a year? It's time to find out if he is actually one of the best quarterbacks in the league as we force Colin to choose between Dis or Dak.
All right.
Next 5 years.
Would you rather have Carson Wentz or Dak?
That is one of the easier ones today. I'd take Carson Wentz. Now, I think Carson Wentz and Patrick Mahomes, in terms of size, it, leadership, arm strength, are transformational players. The difference is Mahomes got to sit for a year, learn under Alex Smith, had Andy Reid. Carson Wentz had to play, got hurt again. Wentz, to me, is a different level of talent. I only put Mahomes in his class in terms of size, arm, athletic, mobility, smarts, pre-snap, coachability. I think Wentz is a totally different class of quarterback.
I think for the injuries, I'm taking Dak. Would you rather have Goff or Dak?
Again, I sometimes don't get the criticism of certain players. I would take Goff. He throws outside of Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes, one of the best deep ball throwers in the league. If you like Matt Ryan, how do you not like Jared Goff? He's a better arm. He's basically, yes, he needs a better offensive line. He's not terribly athletic. Either's Tom Brady. Jared Goff's really good. Well, he's got Sean McVay. Find me the great quarterback with a nothing burger as head coach. They don't exist. Every good quarterback. Marino, Shula, Brady, Belichick, Montana. They all have good quarterbacks. Yes, Goff is elevated by Sean McVay. So is Garoppolo with Kyle Shanahan. You don't think Dak's elevated by that offensive line, Zeke, Amari? You don't think it helps a little bit? So I would take Goff over Dak.
I also would take Goff. Would you rather have Jimmy Garoppolo or Dak?
It's close. This morning, I'd take Dak. Okay, I think Dak is a better athlete. Dak doesn't have two injuries. I like Garoppolo, and that's how I feel about Dak. I like Dak, but I was really disturbed by Jimmy Garoppolo and the adult film star in Beverly Hills. Come on. You're a franchise quarterback. I don't love that judgment. And that kind of off-field judgment has sometimes worried me about his throwing judgment. So this is really close. But if you're talking availability, athletic, Garoppolo's got a better arm, but sometimes Jimmy's off-field, non-field judgment has been immature. I'd take slightly, very, very slightly, Dak.
I'm also taking Dak there. Would you rather have Matt Ryan or Dak?
I asked the staff not to put this one up. Let me come back to this one later.
Okay.
I got a lot of stuff I'm still filing through on that one.
Okay. Would you rather have Deshaun Watson or Dak?
Okay, this may surprise you. But in this instance, it's like Garoppolo. It's an inch. I think I'd take Dak, and here's why. Because you're asking me next 5 years. Deshaun, the knock on Dak, he's not really a natural thrower. I completely agree. I don't think Deshaun's a great natural thrower. I worry that Dak is an ascending player. I worry that Deshaun Watson sort of plays one way, and the way he plays is going to put him in harm's way. Like a lot of quarterbacks, Russell Wilson now runs less. Russell could play two ways. I can run and win. I can pocket and rarely run and win. Steve Young did that. I can win running. I can win passing. I wonder if Deshaun Watson's way to win is why he gets dinged up. Like, this is the way he plays. And I worry that Dak, I think Dak can win more ways. Strictly pocket. He's not the athlete, Deshaun. So again, this is narrow by an inch. I think I'd take Dak.
Would you rather have Derek Carr or Dak?
Derek's a better natural thrower. He's had a major injury. Derek's really funny. First of all, I think Derek's a franchise quarterback. Can we stop about trading Derek Carr? He's a franchise quarterback. He is a better natural thrower. He reminds me a lot of Tony Romo. But I would say there's an availability. There's a leadership thing. There's a toughness thing. There's a mobility thing. I'd take Dak.
I also am taking Dak there. Would you rather have Lamar Jackson or Dak?
Dak. I'll tell you why. Folks, I like Lamar, but Miami and Arizona do not a career make, okay? The other thing about it is Dak's a bigger, stronger athlete. Lamar, to this point, has been an excellent runner and has beaten two lousy teams. Lamar's only played one team twice, the Chargers, and by the second time, they figured him out. Everybody's seen Dak now. He's faced the Steelers. He's faced the Eagles multiple times, the Giants multiple times. Okay, Dak's seen everybody two and three times, and he's beating people two and three times. Lamar has not proven to me he can beat Pittsburgh, Cleveland, facing them twice a year. I am still not 100% sold on Lamar as a five-year. Is he going to be here starting in 5 years? I think with Dak, I know.
Big game for him Sunday against the Chiefs to see how good he really is. Would you rather have Sam Darnold or Dak? Well,
athletically, I think Darnold's better. Arm, I think Darnold's slightly better. Actually, he is better arm. Now, the difference is I take Sam Darnold. The offensive line's a mess. He inherited garbage. I still think Sam Darnold's fantastic, but he's got mono. His head coach, Adam Gase, and Greg Williams, I'm told, do not get along. It's bad ownership. So unlike Dak that inherited the best offensive line in the league in Zeke, I think Darnold's going to have to, over time, in the next 5 years, at some point, we will all acknowledge in the next five, okay, Darnold's better. It will not look like that for the next year. And so this goes to the Kobe and Shaq trade years ago. The Lakers kept the right guy, Kobe. But for 2 years, Shaq was winning a title. And so I had to eat a dirt sandwich and say, okay, no. Kobe was long-term the better player, the healthier player, the more committed player. It's going to take a couple years. Darnold's better than Dak.
I'm taking Dak. You love Sam Darnold. Really, Greg Williams and Adam Gase don't get along?
Can't stand each other. I've been told they can't stand each other. They just don't talk in the hallways.
Oh, I love the Jets. All right, would you rather have Baker Mayfield or Dak?
I like Dak. I literally, people roll their eyes at this. Maturity, who would you rather have? Leadership, size, athletic ability? Now, Baker's a way better thrower, but I've said before, everybody questions, why do you bang on Baker? I say the same thing. You don't think off-field bad judgment ever translates to on-field? Doesn't he lead the NFL in picks since he started? Isn't that a judgment thing? Like the police video, judgment thing? Like that? None of that stuff now matters. It mattered with Manziel. It mattered with Jameis Winston. It doesn't matter at all? Like, judgment doesn't matter at all. How does
there's
it not?
There's a small correlation. I think it's more of a discipline.
If you're telling me today a guy I can roll with for 5 years, I'm not going to deal with it.
I'm taking Dak also.
I'm not dealing with the nonsense.
It's not a wide margin, but I'm taking Dak.
All right.
Would you rather have Ben Roethlisberger or Dak?
Oh, Dak, yeah. I mean, Ben's 37. Ben's hurt. Yeah, I mean,
over his whole career. This is for the next 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, Ben's 37. He's hurt, and he's had accuracy. I think he's had declining accuracy issues. That's why when New England played him in week one without AB, they just said, beat us on precision routes. He can't. He needs a big play receiver. He's a big play quarterback. But next 5 years, I take Dak.
All right, finally, you asked us to wait, so we're giving it to you again. Would you rather have Matt Ryan or Dak?
I would take Matt Ryan because with 2 to 3 different coordinators, he has clicked. And now he was better with Kyle Shanahan, but even last year with a new coordinator, he was like off the charts. I think Matt Ryan, not much of an athlete. He's a lot like Jared Goff. He needs a good offensive line. But last year they had a bad offensive line and he still had 35 touchdown throws. So I don't want to live in the moment. As a precision thrower, pre-snap, Matt Ryan's a different level right now today than Dak Prescott. So it's Matt Ryan.
for the next 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think Maddie just got into his prime. So I think Maddie's next 4 years are his best years.
So I'm taking Dak, but...
So I was... Yeah. Now, by the way, again, so it all told, I would take Wentz over him, Goff over him.
Sam Darnold,
Matt Ryan, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady. I'm trying to think of anybody else in the league. So that's eight guys absolutely. Eight guys absolutely.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
All right, Dak Prescott, MVP, huge numbers.
Right.
You're Amen. All in.
All the way in.
Now, it's not always pretty with Dak.
No, it's not all the way pretty, but I think we have enough of a sample size to know that he's trending upward.
Yes.
He's going to play that way. Since Amari Cooper has gotten there, he has played at a high level.
Yes.
The last eight games of last season, two playoff games. Then you go and you watch how he's performed this year. I think you have to begin to believe that Dak is going to be a guy that kind of ascends, much like Russell Wilson.
Much like Tom Brady.
Yes. And so we've talked about it. The Tom Brady thing is very interesting because Dak Prescott started out his career as a game manager. And as he goes along and as he gets more comfortable and as he and Kellen Moore develop a relationship, I think you will see him be the franchise quarterback that everyone wants to have.
You know, what I worry about with quarterbacks, and I'll give you Sam Darnold. I worry at Sam Darnold. The Jets coach doesn't like the defensive coordinator. There's discord, I'm told, all over the Jets staff. That's what I worry about. Dak comes into a good place. Josh Allen, I think Buffalo's got a really good coaching staff. They never put him in positions to fail. Lamar Jackson, it's hard to argue it, but it is Arizona-Miami. So where do you land on that stuff?
Look, man, I think Lamar Jackson has been terrific. And the one thing John Harbaugh, he let us know that they were changing their offense. They were looking to revolutionize the game, especially as it came to dual threat quarterbacks, and they've done that. Lamar Jackson is basically playing in a hybrid version of the offense that he played in at Louisville. You're seeing him do the read option stuff. He didn't do that much at Louisville, but the passing game is very similar to what he did for Bobby Petrino. A lot of in-breaking routes, a lot of quick rhythm throws, some RPOs mixed in, and then they are throwing the ball down the field. And Lamar Jackson is a guy, he can throw the deep post. We saw him. In a critical situation against Arizona, two minutes left, he throws a shot down the boundary to Hollywood Brown that is on the mark. And so I think he came in and there were a lot of questions. Could he throw it well enough? And I'm not saying he's ever going to be a high-end passer, but if he can throw it well enough to go with the other stuff that he brings, that offense is going to be difficult to defend because you always have to account for him in the running game.
Former player and a scout, second-round pick, Bucky Brooks, now at the NFL Network. You know, I was started talking about today is that we always considered like Wayne Gretzky, as not individual sports like tennis or golf, or Tiger Woods or Jack or Serena or Federer, but in team sports, it was always like Michael was the best and Wayne Gretzky was the best. And I look at Tom Brady, you can literally cut his career in two halves, and you can argue that both halves, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Only Joe Montana could argue him out of both. And I look at him as the greatest. Is there something beyond the football that impresses you?
I think just the entire package. Like the last few weeks, we've talked to a lot of coaches on the Move the Sticks podcast. I'll plug that. We've talked to a lot of coaches, Mack Brown. We've talked to Bob Stoops. And all of them, we asked them about the quarterback position and what is important. And to a man, the number one thing that they cite, leadership. Leadership, toughness, then it comes down to accuracy and decision-making. Well, Tom Brady might be the best leader that we've ever seen. Just listen to his former teammates and his current teammates talk about him. We've never heard a teammate come out and say anything bad about the way he handled situations.
Not one. Even Pippen, later years, banged on MJ.
Yes. We've never heard anything negative about the way Tom Brady leads. The way that he tried to make a connection with Antonio Brown right away. The way that he is connected with Josh Gordon. Stories go on and on and on about what Tom Brady has done. Tom Brady, to me, is a very selfless quarterback. At a lot of times, quarterbacks are me, me, me guys.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is one willing to be coached. He's willing to play the game the way that it needs to be played to win. And the only thing he's consumed about is winning. That is unique and rare to find in a quarterback.
I remember Howie Long saying once, he was joking, he goes, you can never have two actors or two quarterbacks in the same room. They've got to own their room.
Yes.
To your point, Brady is willing to you know, accessorized with all these great players, and he doesn't have this insecurity that he feels like it takes away from him. He's very secure in what he's accomplished, what he's done.
Oh, I think it speaks volumes. Okay. Let's just look at the situation, and I'm not going to say that Ben Roethlisberger is to blame for what took place in Pittsburgh, but we heard reports coming out of Pittsburgh about Ben Roethlisberger's best friend or person saying, hey, he elevated Antonio Brown. Well, you're not going to get that kind of stuff from Tom Brady. Tom Brady wants more good players because more good players makes him a better player. It makes it easy for him. We saw the first half of the Miami game. AB's on the field. Josh Gordon's on the field. Julian Edelman. This offense now looks dynamic and explosive, and it's an easier game for Tom Brady. As you get older, they need more help around them so they can do their thing. And Tom Brady has been, time and time again, he's been willing to just play his part, to be a part of the team, not to try and act like he is the entire team.
Okay, you were a defensive back in the NFL. You were also a scout. What would you give up for Jalen Ramsey, who I think is the best corner in the league? He's a big, long, physical, doesn't get hurt.
He is the prototypical cornerback that every defensive coordinator would love to have. You're talking about a world-class athlete with an all-pro set of skills as a football player. Talking about a guy that jumped 24, 25 feet, long jump at Florida State. So this is a legitimate world-class athlete. Then you get on the field, he can do whatever you want to see. He can backpedal, he can press, he can play up, he can play off. He tackles, he has size, he has athleticism, he has the feistiness and dog in him that you want because he's ultra-competitive. He is everything that you want at the position. I don't think it can be too expensive of a price to get a guy like that. I think the thing that you have to have in place, though, you have to have a coach who can handle a strong personality. Not that Jalen Ramsey is disruptive, but he has a strong personality. Who is comfortable dealing with someone like that? I think Kansas City comes to mind to me.
Andy Reid.
And Andy Reid has dealt with everybody, from DeSean Jackson to Marcus Peters and on.
He resurrected Michael Vick's career.
He will be
fine. Took a lot of heat for that.
With a Jalen Ramsey. In fact, Jalen Ramsey would really help them because it would give Steve Spagnuolo an opportunity to put Jalen Ramsey on one side, lock it down, and then zone the other side. So now you have the ability to do the Deion Sanders-like defense where you can take a half of the field away and make them throw to where you load the coverage for Kansas City. Kansas City doesn't need a top 10 defense. They need a top 15 defense to be able to win because their offense is going to score points. They just need to be able to get two or three stops a game to win games. Jalen Ramsey will help them do that.
By the way, 30 seconds left. All these young quarterbacks are working. My guess is Daniel Jones and the Giants. It's a decent O-line.
It's a decent O-line. Eli Manning wasn't to blame for all of their woes, but look, it's time to go to usher in the youth movement. You have Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, Evan Ingram, and then Sterling Shepard. Grow that nucleus. Let them play these last 14 games. See what Daniel Jones can do. So now going into 2020, you know exactly what you need to add to the puzzle to allow this team to get back to the playoffs.
Bucky Brooks, good seeing you.